If the New World Order is crying for a savior, who might that be? We'll talk about it.
They needed to have a pope who would be on their side, and they have that pope in place now, and that's another reason why they are working so feverishly to try to bring this agenda about as quickly as possible, because they have a religious leader in the Vatican who favors their agenda.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Today we spend part one of our program concluding a discussion with Gary Kaa. Could a pope be an apocalyptic player? The world continues its tailspin thanks to the coronavirus. But is the end in sight? We'll talk about it this hour.
And welcome to the program. This is part two of a two-part series talking to Gary Kaa. Spent last week in a fascinating discussion. And let me just review a little bit what we talked about. It's impossible to review it fully, but you can find the programming on my website, olivetreeviews.org, and just go to radio, complete archives. You can find it on our YouTube channel. That'd be under Jan Markell, Olive Tree Ministries. You can find it on hischannel.com. You can find it at oneplace.com, last week's programming, an hour with Gary talking about just how would the global government. They're passionate about it. They have been, frankly, for 5,000 years, more active in the last perhaps 100 years. How are they seizing this crisis to bring about their one-world system? That's what we spent last week talking about. We covered a lot of different topics from Event 201. You'd have to look some of this up online if you don't want to hear the programming. ID 2020. We spent some time on that. We have referenced the World Economic Forum. We talked a lot last week and played a number of sound bites with Bill Gates, who seems to be at the present. Well, they're pinning the tail on the donkey of Bill Gates being very, let's just say, Antichrist-esque. I'm not saying he's it. We don't know. There's a lot we don't know, and sort of speculating, well, it makes for interesting conversation. At times, it can be a little bit fruitless and futile. Gary Kaa began looking at the global government agenda 30 years ago. He's written some books on it. You can find those books at garykaa.org, garykaa.org. I've done a DVD on it, and we talked last week about the rampant loss of civil liberties. It seems that when it comes to health, people are willing to give things up in the name of, well, we see these horrible images. Some of them coming out of nursing homes, but not exclusively nursing homes. Even younger people getting very, very ill from coronavirus. The consequences of all that. And then you have to weigh the consequences of a seriously harmed economy. And all of this when, in fact, 98% of those who get the virus are going to recover. We talked a little bit about the Georgia Guidestones and the fact that the globalists really do want to reduce Earth's population down to 500 million people. Is this part of their plan? We do not know. Gary and I are not wearing tinfoil hats, trying to be conspiratorial, but when we look at Revelation, particularly chapter 13, other chapters as well, 17, 18, we see a one-world system leaping out of the book of Revelation. We read about the four horsemen of the apocalypse. One of the horsemen is very involved in the whole pestilence scenario. What we're talking about, church is not in the tribulation, but nonetheless, is this a run-up to it? Is this a warning to the church? Is it a warning to the world that time is short, that time is growing very, very short? You need to make a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ. There really is good news on the horizon. Our heavenly home awaits us, and we spend a good deal of time talking about all the vaccine, the mass vaccine plans that are going on for the planet as we speak. So, Gary, welcome back to the program.
Good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
It's kind of hard to know where to start, but let me start how I pre-announced things last week. And I'm going back to some of the things you're writing about. I'm actually in your previous newsletter at this point. Last week, we talked heavily about your spring edition. And you can find that at garykaa.org, folks. But he had a winter edition that came out in January. And I'm referring to that. I'm going to be reading a few paragraphs from it. And I used the tease last weekend about Pope Francis. Pope Francis is called the Vicar of the New World Order. He's one of the primary proponents of the one world system. Clearly, that is his passion in life. Gary Kaa, why do you think that is? that a pope would have such a fascination and a longing for a one-world system?
I think if you look at his background coming out of the Jesuit order, which its history has been one that is more toward globalization and pushing that agenda, and I think a lot of people have missed that about him, but he is the first, at least what we know of, the first overtly Jesuit pope. That has been a concern to conservatives, both Protestants, but also conservative Catholics who've been keeping a close eye on him, because this pope, for whatever reason, is really supportive of the New World Order on every level. He's addressed all of them: government, economics, the environment, education, religion, etc. You just can't get away from it. His own words condemn him on that issue. He's made very clear where he stands on this through his many public statements. During the last 14, 15 months, though, he's intensified his efforts even more. Something I wanted to point out was that a little bit over a year ago, February 2019, Pope Francis met with the world's best-known Muslim cleric,
that's right,
the Grand Imam Ahmed Al-Tayyib of Egypt, and together they proposed the United Nations World Day of Fraternity. This is the latest catchword, fraternity. They proposed this to the UN Secretary General. The Pope and the Imam also proposed a UN-hosted World Summit on Human Fraternity. The goal of these events really is to promote the ideas that they laid out in their joint document that they drafted together, titled Human Fraternity for World Peace and Living Together. It's kind of a disguised call for a new world order, for coming together, a type of interfaithism to help make the new world order possible. The underlying premise of this declaration, Jan, of the Pope and Imam Al-Tayyib, is that all religions are good and come from God. In their document, when the word believers is used, It's actually a reference to all people who believe in the existence of a God, no matter what their concept of that God might be. So it presents the false notion of universal religious unity, the idea that all religions are pathways to God, which of course is a dangerous lie. The document repeats over and over the term human fraternity, which you could substitute the term global interfaith unity for the term human fraternity, because that's really what it means. All this is going on behind the scenes, and in some circles people are very aware of this. This pope is held in very high regard by the leaders of the United Nations because of his efforts toward interfaithism while also endorsing their globalization efforts politically and on the economic and environmental front. I've told people this in the last week. He's involved in all of this up to his eyeballs. He just is. A question that many people ask me is, why has the Pope taken center stage to this degree in the religious community and with the UN? My answer to them is, if you think about it, a system of world government would be virtually impossible to accomplish without the blessing and support of the Pope, which is over the Church of Rome, which represents over 1 billion Catholics worldwide. If he stood up against this emerging New World Order and became a mouthpiece against it and said, I oppose this because our freedoms will be taken away from us, things will become too centralized, it's a dangerous thing, we'll see persecution of Christians and Jews as a result of this move towards socialism. If he did that type of thing, it'd be almost impossible to pull off this new world order. How can you do so if the leader of the largest religious organization in the world speaks out against it and a high percentage of Catholics chime in with him and take a stand against it? So globalists understand that. They understand that. They knew that they needed to have a pope who would be on their side, and they have that pope in place now, and that's another reason why they are working so feverishly to try to bring this agenda about as quickly as possible, because they have a religious leader in the Vatican who favors their agenda. They also have a lot of Protestant leaders associated with the World Council of Churches that are backing their agenda. They've got even this Muslim leader, Imam Ahmed Al-Tayyib from Egypt, who has allied himself with the Pope and pushing this agenda. So many of the pieces are now coming together and are in place.
And you write, and I'm referring to the article in your January issue, you write, 2015, he called for a world government to solve the alleged global warming crisis. And then he says, climate change is a global problem with grave implications, environmental, social, economic, political, and for the distribution of goods. It represents one of the principal challenges facing humanity today. Many of us would say that is not the case. I want to play a clip of you, Gary, and in this clip, you're talking about this false unity, particularly a false unity of the last days. And folks, this is why we have to be careful when we start hearing Pope Francis, again, Vicar of the New World Order, that's what the secular media often calls him. But when we start hearing about a unity, an end-time unity, being promoted in a positive way, you can go to your local Christian bookstore, though most of them are closed now. They were closed months and months ago because folks are only ordering online. You'll find evangelical books on unity. My goodness, why? You can hear Bishop Tony Palmer saying that we're all Catholics again, that the Reformation is over. He made that statement on Kenneth Copeland's program a few years ago. This is Gary Kaa talking about this false unity that's coming in the last days.
The masses that are involved in this movement, many of them are naively involved. Most of those people, and they number in the millions even here in the United States now, they have come to embrace some of the teachings of pantheism. Hinduism, the core religion underlying Hinduism, is pantheism. If I could give a brief explanation of it, I suppose I'd say this. Pantheism teaches that all living matter, the sum total of all living matter, is God. So therefore, you and I, we are part of God. We are gods ourselves. We're part of this universal God force that encompasses all living matter. They don't believe in the idea of a personal God or creator, but rather this God force that indwells us all. They believe that if world government is formed, if all the people of the world are unified through this false unity, that this will speed things along and bring in this new age where we will receive a higher level of spiritual, supernatural powers that we could have never dreamed of having before. Some people call this taking the quantum leap into the new age, the next step of human evolution. There are millions of people that believe this, and collectively, in Western society, we refer to this as being the New Age movement. It's really Eastern mysticism, Hinduism, packaged in a way that appeals to the people in Western society. It sounds much more benevolent if you call it the New Age movement than old-fashioned occultism, which really is what it is. So today, even in Christian circles, you've got various New Age occultic ideas that have crept in. People don't even realize it because most churches today, most pastors, don't teach on this subject to help their flock understand what the occult really is. So when it creeps in, they're not able to identify it, and they fall for it naively. So to summarize, again, at the higher level, you have people who are directly involved in Lucifer worship. As you come down through this pyramid, you've got people involved in the pantheistic religions, and down here, people on the fringes have embraced some of these beliefs, but not all of them, but they're moving in that direction of helping to support this and to prop up this coming one world order without even realizing it. You can get books in Christian bookstores now, most Christian bookstores, that oftentimes glorify the occult. They're teaching ideas straight out of Eastern mysticism, but are using Christian terminology, oftentimes in the name of unity. That's a huge deception. The Bible's for true unity. Jesus spoke about that in John chapter 17. But there's also a false unity that Scripture warns us of, especially in the last days. We can't ever make the mistake of being driven to create unity at any price if we have to sacrifice vital truth to do that.
Gary, as you write, you say, despite his initiatives advancing global government and advocating a new world religion, most spiritual leaders, including many Protestants, have thrown discernment to the wind. They are attracted to this Pope like bees to honey, and isn't that a tragedy?
It is. I want to emphasize again that there is a place for true unity that is centered on the truth, and Jesus promoted that and is all for that. And it's a wonderful thing when people in the body of Christ come together to worship the Lord in a true sense of unity. But false unity, which is not centered on the truth, is a completely different thing. The Bible is very clear about that. You know, at the building of the Tower of Babel, there was a false unity taking place in the known world at that time. And what did God do? He intervened and scattered
That's
the
right.
people. God is vehemently opposed to a false unity because ultimately it takes people to hell. Ultimately, this is about a spiritual battle that's being waged among us living on this earth, determining where we are going to spend eternity. So we have to make the right choices. We need to choose Jesus because of the fact that we understand that he is the only way. He is the only one who paid the penalty for our sins and through whom we can gain eternal life in heaven. So any other teachings that open up the possibility for other religions and the idea that we can somehow work our way into immortality, those are fatal mistakes, fatal decisions. People that follow those religions, they're going to come to the end of their life and stand before God and realize that they have rejected him and the truth all along and fell for a deception that's determining where they're going to spend their eternity. There's so much at stake in all of this, and we have to be absolutely certain that we come down on the right side of this and read the Bible, know the Bible, understand why Jesus is the only way and why we need to defend that theological and doctrinal fact.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. Jan Markell here. I spent all of last week talking to Gary Kaa, spending at least half of this weekend's program talking with Gary because he's been monitoring the rush to the one world system for 30 years. He's written some books. You can find those at GaryKaa.org, GaryKaa.org. And I've talked to Gary off and on over the last 20 years on radio. I probably talked to him a dozen, maybe 15 times, usually about this topic. Quite frankly, in previous recordings over the years, well, we were sort of inching towards global government, but now we're galloping. And that's because of the corona crisis and how it's caused the world order to at least going to be collapsing on a permanent basis, or is it just kind of going through a rough time that it will turn around? Even the economy will come rushing back. We don't know at this point in time. The point is, global government needed a crisis. We've had lots of crises over time, had some world wars. We've had other kinds of crises, certainly a pandemic back in 1918. But now we have one that's almost unprecedented, even though, again, 98% of those who get the coronavirus, you're going to be just fine. However, having said that, over 200 nations are embroiled in the corona conflict. Gary Kaa, Pope Francis has something coming up, originally May 14th. That date may be changed, interestingly enough, on Israel's anniversary, her 72nd anniversary. Talk to us a little bit about what that is to be.
He calls it a global compact on education. His announcement came back in September during his visit to the Astalli Center, which is the Jesuit refugee service in Rome. This so-called global compact on education is to be officially launched at the Vatican as part of a global event, and they've been targeting May 14th for that launch. And again, that may change because of the coronavirus. I don't know. They may pick a different date. But the ultimate purpose is to pave the way for major global changes through education. I take that to mean that people need to be conditioned a little bit more so that whatever is coming will be more widely accepted. He's been pushing this together with religious leaders from other religions, including the Grand Imam that I mentioned earlier, Al-Tayyib. What's interesting, if I go back to that for just a moment,
please.
The two of them have been pushing a lot of this agenda. But a few days after their meeting last year, Pope Francis went on to address the World Government Summit in Dubai. That was the actual name of the meeting, the World Government Summit. So if people think, are we jumping to conclusions? This is all to such a point now, it is so blatant and out front that you can't give these people the benefit of the doubt anymore. They're involved in all this knowingly and pushing this agenda. The Pope was the keynote speaker at the World Government Summit. His speech was delivered via teleconference as world leaders looked on. The whole purpose of that summit, as the name suggests, was to promote the establishing of a world government, which the Pope is in favor of. So his global compact on education is intended to unite all the educational institutions of the world, including those of the UN. So I'm sure he's working closely with Gordon Brown, who is the UN's representative regarding global education. They are going to condition our young people as well as young and old across the board of the importance of coming together in unity into this new world order. I have a quote here from him. It actually sounds a lot like some statements that Hillary Clinton made a few years ago. This is an excerpt from his announcement introducing the compact. It says, "Every change calls for an educational process that involves everyone. There is thus a need to create an educational village in which all people, according to their respective roles, share the task of forming a network of open human relationships. According to an African proverb, it takes a whole village to educate a child. We have to create such a village before we can educate. In the first place, the ground must be cleared of discrimination, and fraternity must be allowed to flourish." There's that word again. "As I stated in the document that I signed with the Grand Imam Al-Tayyib on February 4th of this year in Abu Dhabi, he exploits this idea of it takes a village. We have to educate individuals from all different directions, through the media, through public education, through the Catholic Church, through the UN, all to help promote this coming New World Order and prepare people to be global citizens, which is something else that he's come out in favor of openly, this idea of global citizenship. There you have it. And on the environment, jumping over to that for a moment, he's been at the forefront of the global green movement. And one of the statements he made was this. He said, enforceable international agreements are urgently needed. What is needed, in effect, is an agreement on systems of governance for the whole range of so-called global commons. So he pushes this idea of global government really in every creative way that he can.
You're right, Gary. You say, in order for Satan to accomplish his objective, bringing us to the point where humankind will embrace the Antichrist, he and his minions have to facilitate chaos in every area of life. Then you say, most people will never accept a new and completely different world order, political, economic, and religious system of governing, unless they feel it is the only way forward. The coming solution must therefore appear to be absolutely necessary for saving the planet. Recognizing this deceptive strategy of the devil is of paramount importance for us to be discerning followers of Jesus in the days ahead. That was actually wrapping up your article on the Pope. But I want to just refer to something else you've written about, and I have as well. And that is, this is in your magazine for January. This is going back a couple months. You actually have a picture in here of what is sitting outside of the Colosseum. The ancient demon god Molech, at least some artistic design of him, is sitting in the Colosseum. And you write about it. You say, last fall, a massive statue of the demon god Molech was set in place at the entryway to the Colosseum in Rome. The pagan idol is the centerpiece of a special exhibit that will be on display at the famous Colosseum until March 29th, so it's probably not there any longer. What is most significant about this demonic exhibit is that the Colosseum is actually controlled and overseen by the Vatican. And then you go on to talk a little bit more about that. The only point being here, and I think you raised the question, and it's a very valid, what on earth is the Vatican doing, featuring, highlighting, spotlighting the demon god Molech? Not only that, but in the entryway to the Colosseum in Rome. This is terribly evil, terribly evil.
In fact, in Leviticus 18:21, it talks about this ancient demon god and the fact that the children were sacrificed on the altar of Molech. It was all about child sacrifice. And so of all things, to have there on display right at the entrance to the Colosseum, which, by the way, we were there a little bit less than a year ago and walked right by that spot. And so they apparently put this up a few months later. We've gotten statements from tourists who went there, Christians, and they were just horrified to see this massive idol right there that you have to walk by to get into the Colosseum. It doesn't make any sense. When the Catholic Church has taken such a strong stand against abortion, and then they erect a demon god right there to whom children were sacrificed to this demon god, you wonder, what is the Pope thinking? What's really going through his mind? And I don't know. God knows, but it's not good.
You can sign up for Gary's magazine. You have to do so at GaryKa.org. It is subscription. Check it out. No phone number is being given right now. Just check it out at GaryKa.org. Again, if you're at all interested in the DVD I made 2 years ago, updated it a year ago, Hidden in Plain View, The New World Order in Bible Prophecy. You'll find that at my website, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. We talk about all these issues in my print and e-newsletter. Sign up at olivetreeviews.org. Gary Ka, thank you for all you're doing to be a watchman on the wall. And I always appreciate, whether I'm having you on air or reading you in print, that you do always focus on hope, and you always give an invitation to salvation. Your magazine features that in a prominent way, and if you'd like to go out, we've just spent an hour and a half now last week and now half of our program this weekend talking about these New World Order, kind of marching to the New World Order issues. If you'd like to wrap it up here in a minute, it's all yours.
In our country, we've become a people of pursuing many false gods. I believe God is giving us this opportunity with this crisis, with many of us stuck at home, with a lot of time to think and reflect. I hope that we use this time to draw nearer to Christ, to repent. And I'm talking about the church. We've gotten so involved in sports, entertainment, careers, investments, the pursuit of material things, you name it, things that distract us from God. And if anything takes a higher priority in our lives than the Lord Jesus Christ, then it has become an idol or God in our lives, and we need to let go of it. Maybe you're listening to this program today just to hear that very thing and to be challenged in that and to turn your life completely over to the Lord. That's all that God wants. He wants us to walk closely with Him, especially during these times. And as we approach the end times and the soon coming of Jesus and all these warning signs that we've been given, the Lord very graciously has allowed us to see all these warning signs so that we're not caught off guard. I just pray that you would take this opportunity to turn to Him and place all of your hope and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ today.
Gary Kaw, thank you for all you do. Folks, we're changing topics after a real short timeout. Please don't go away. Gary, you and I will stay in touch. We'll talk again. And my goodness, where might the world be the next time we talk? I have no idea. It will be interesting, but thank you again.
We shall see. Thank you, Jan.
All right, bye now.
We enjoy helping you understand the times and be watchmen on the wall. We live in unprecedented times as the Bible reveals itself to be more up to date than any newspaper or online website. We love friendly feedback. Write to us at Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. You can reach us electronically through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Or call us, Central Time, at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. More in a moment. We are carrying Amir Sarfati's new book, The Day Approaching, an Israeli's message of warning and hope for the last days. The book looks at the plans for the world, the church, Israel, and for you. As we look at the turmoil of our times now, many are asking if we are in a run-up to the very last of the last days. Tribulation events are casting a shadow on the church age. We have global events, including locusts, plagues, pestilence, and natural disasters that are of biblical proportion. Could God be sending warning signs to both the world and the church? In the Bible, Jesus spoke about the signs that would make it clear His return is near. Learn what those are and how they are evident today. As a native Israeli believer, Amir Sarfati has a distinct perspective that weaves biblical history, current events, and Bible prophecy together to shine the light on the mysteries about the last days. Find this compelling book in our online store at olivetreeviews.org, that's olivetreeviews.org, in our print and e-newsletter, or call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444.
I can look into the future. I can look at the Bible and know that we are going into globalism. I believe we're watching the birth of the New World Order. I believe all of the data has been collected to observe all of humanity, how we've acted and how we've reacted. But the biggest problem that we have is the problem of the heart, and it's the heart of mankind.
In our closing segment, Jan shares wise words from two pastors who are radio favorites, Pastor J.D. Farag and Pastor Tom Hughes. They continue with the discussion concerning the longing for a man who can solve the world's problems. Longing for a Savior, but not the Savior of the Bible, who died and rose again, and who is coming back. Here's Jan Markell.
Well, I wanted to make some additional comments here before we wrap up this week's radio. And I've spent a couple of weeks now looking at the global elite's rush to the New World Order. And we're now into early May, and I think most of us were leading some pretty normal, busy lives back in January and February of 2020. But I think prophecy watchers, frankly, have been anticipating, well, a crisis, because we've seen many crises around the world, unprecedented locusts in part of Africa and the Middle East. We've seen political turmoil. We've seen other natural disasters that seem to intensify and cause more and more destruction. We've seen consistently the decline in the character of mankind with the celebration of the aberrant. We've seen the rise of violence, wickedness, and lawlessness. We've watched no government in Israel for a year until the last couple of weeks when a unity government was actually finally formed. And I have seen the building and the longing for a man who can make all things right. And then I came across an article online in the Daily Mail out of the UK. I'm going to read two paragraphs. France's 42-year-old president, Emmanuel Macron, who has faced many challenges governing his country, is now positioning himself to take over the mantle of global leadership, long reserved for older leaders of, say, China, Russia, and especially America. And right now, Macron has no real challengers. Now, let me just add here by way of comment that am I suggesting that Emmanuel Macron could be the Antichrist? I'm not suggesting that, but I am suggesting that the one man can fix it all mentality is building. Emmanuel Macron would like to be that man. Going back to the article, the vehicle of this leadership campaign is Macron's proposal for a worldwide ceasefire, a truce, everywhere from Afghanistan to Syria, Iraq, and Yemen. Carrying on with Macron and the future of an Antichrist. So here we even have a man who is foreshadowing a man of peace. He wants to have a worldwide ceasefire. I think it's somewhat even foolish to try to figure out who apocalyptic players are. I think that looking to various offices, such as the office of a pope, to be an apocalyptic player, but actually naming these people gets to be even downright risky, because only God knows, and he isn't revealing these secrets to anyone. At the same time, the Bible says we're to watch and pray for the Lord's return, and one of the ways we watch and pray for the Lord's return is to watch for some of the markers, the signs. Back to this article, and it concludes, indeed, it would appear that the world could use a new leader in this time of crisis, the crisis referring to the COVID-19 virus. The article says, a leader who is prepared to put global interests above personal or political aggrandizement. And until the United States is prepared to offer such an individual, there may be no better person to fill that void than France's young, charismatic, fresh voice, Emmanuel Macron. Now, I'd like to play, it's about a 12-minute clip of Pastor J.D. Farag. He's going to be building on some of the things I've just shared. And when Pastor J.D. finishes, I'll tell you how to access that clip, and then I'm going to make some further comments.
I want to talk with you today about what I see as a reshaping, even a resetting of the entire world order vis-a-vis this coronavirus pandemic. Let me preface this by encouraging you to do your own research on what I'm going to share with you today. And I do have to say that much of what I'm going to share is kind of heavy. But if you'll hang in there with me until the end, this ends very good. It has a very, very good ending. But some of the things that I'm going to talk about today are very disturbing and maybe in a sanctified way, if I can say it that way. But I do want to encourage you to be a Berean and search the scriptures on your own, rightly dividing the word of truth. I want to begin with this ominous Politico magazine article bearing the title, Coronavirus Will Change the World Permanently. Here's how. Listen to a few quotes from this article. Quoting, a crisis on this scale can reorder society in dramatic ways for better or worse. A global novel virus that keeps us contained in our homes, maybe for months, is already, listen to this, reorienting our relationship to government, to the outside world, even to each other. Religious worship will look different. Still quoting. All faiths have dealt with the challenge of keeping faith alive under the adverse conditions, but never all faiths at the same time. Religion in the time of quarantine will, again, listen, challenge conceptions of what it means to minister and to fellowship. The Washington Post published a similar article titled, After the Pandemic, How the Coronavirus Will Change Our Lives Forever. In it, they basically say that our lives, our daily lives, will change in ways that we could have never imagined, and our lives will never be the same again. This brings me to a Yahoo News report on Wednesday in which the Gates Foundation, this is the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, is calling for global cooperation on a vaccine for 7 billion people around the world. The reason I wanted to mention this is because there was a quote that really caught my attention from the Gates Foundation Chief Executive Mark Sussman. He says, and I quote, "There will be no return to normal until there is a vaccine, but there are no dramatic ways to shortcut it," close quote. In the article, he goes on to say that best case scenario, 12 months, 1 year. It's more likely going to be a year and a half, 18 months. I hesitated to mention this one, but after praying about it early this morning, I sensed that the Lord would have me to at least put it out there, and in so doing, encourage you to vet this. I learned of it only yesterday, and I didn't have enough time to validate its authenticity. I always want to be accurate when I quote sources, but this particular source has to do with patent number WO2020060606. Some are suggesting that the patent number stands for World Order, WO 2020, and has the numbers 666. And it is a patent described as a cryptocurrency system using body activity data. It would incorporate what's known as blockchain technology, which you find with cryptocurrency today. Now, this is another Bill Gates Microsoft patent in which Gates has partnered with Verichip manufacturer Digital Angel Corporation dating back to the year 2008. Now, I would suggest that we may, in fact, be on the cusp of this new world order and the revealing of the Antichrist foretold of in the book of Revelation. It's, I believe, going to come by way of a reset on every level, in every arena, a governmental reset, an economic reset. And it's important to understand that this has been in the works for decades now as a global agenda for global governance. Back in the year 1957, Paul Henri Spaak, former Belgian prime minister and one of the principal architects of what has since its origins now become the European Union, which, by the way, I think I quoted this a week or two ago, the European Union, because of this pandemic, is this close to complete collapse. Complete collapse. Well, he's one of the original architects of the EU. And he said, this is 1957, he said, and I quote, We do not want another committee. We have too many already. What we want is a man of sufficient stature to hold the allegiance of all people and to lift us out of the economic morass into which we are sinking. Send us such a man, and be he God or devil, we will receive him. 1957. This is really interesting. It was actually in the year 1999. Walter Cronkite, the personification of network news, who was by then retired, appeared at a United Nations room to accept his World Federalist Association Global Governance Award. Global Governance Award. 1999. Walter Cronkite. In his acceptance speech, he said, and I quote, "The first priority of humankind in this difficult era is to establish an effective system of world law that would assure peace with justice for all the people of the world. First, we Americans are going to have to yield up some of our sovereignty. That's going to be, for many, a bitter pill. It will take a lot of courage, a lot of faith, and a lot of persuasion for them to come along with us on this necessity." More recently, and I quoted this as well, on Thursday, March 26th, Breaking Israel News quoted former British Prime Minister Gordon Brown calling on world leaders to form, and I quote, "a one world government in order to cope with COVID-19. The logic is this: it's a global crisis, and it can only be dealt with by way of a global government. Okay. Now, all of this begs the question of whether or not this current global crisis and global call for a global government and a global leader, the question is this crisis what ushers in the Antichrist and said new world order? Well, the truth is that none of us can know for sure. However, and please hear me out on this, with each passing day, it's looking like this could in fact be it. I hope you don't tire of me saying this, but I'd rather be ready for this to be it and have it not be it than not be ready only to have this be it. I suppose that I could rightly be accused of not wanting anyone's blood on my hands, and I'll explain what I mean by that. Like with the watchman on the wall in Ezekiel, who didn't warn the people of what was coming, the blood of those people was on the hands of that watchman because that watchman did not warn the people. I have to warn you that it looks like this is what's coming. What's coming? Well, for the Christian, it's the rapture. For the non-Christian, unspeakable, unthinkable horror, global, catastrophic destruction. It is my belief that where all of this is heading, it's pointing to the rapture of the Church of Jesus Christ, which can happen at any time. Now, I know that I've been saying this every week for the last 14 years since we started doing these weekly prophecy updates, but again, please just hear my heart when I say this. I have never had the urgency that I do today with this current crisis. And the reason is that this aforementioned resetting of the entire world order is ultimately realized, and I'll even say finalized, after the rapture and in the tribulation. In other words, we're beginning to see this come to pass now.
And that was the familiar voice of Pastor J.D. Farag, Calvary Chapel, Kaneohe, Hawaii. You've heard him on this program many times. He was at my conference at least three times, Understanding the Times events in the fall of each year for the last 3 years, I believe. And you want to catch his YouTube updates. He posts them Sunday afternoon. They are the best. Those of you who are following some of these online updates, you're staying up to date in a very cutting-edge manner. I wrote an e-newsletter in the last few weeks, and I just want to refer to it and build on all that's been said here for the last 2 weeks here on Understanding the Times Radio. And I referred to a Lifeway research poll where 3 out of 4 pastors in the survey have noted that the world and church events have tremendous meaning today, and they're noting issues of the day that are increasing, such as, again, I've referred to it, the decline of traditional morals, national conflicts, the rise of natural disasters, etc. These pastors are concluding that, my goodness, tribulation events are casting a shadow on the church age. Now, is this a new day in the church thanks to some sort of a wake-up call here that we've had in the last few weeks, months, and even years? Sadly, about 25 years ago, the church growth movement said any kind of teaching on these topics would not grow the church and pastors should stay away from them. But the Lifeway Research Project reveals that more than half the pastors who were polled expect Jesus to return in their lifetime. My question to all of these pastors is then, why on earth are your pulpits not proclaiming this? And there's actually more to the survey. It went even deeper. The survey said that almost 70% of the pastors surveyed believe the modern rebirth of Israel and the regathering of millions of Jewish people to the land were and are fulfillments of prophecies in the Bible. Well, that is great news, but that was 72 years ago. I am asking, why haven't you been preaching about this, pastors? Because I get emails daily that say they hear nothing of this in most pulpits today. More than that, 40% of the pastors surveyed believed that the establishment of the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem, now 2 years ago, was a sign of the last days. Again, this is tremendous sermon material, and it could get a church fired up, I believe, but most pulpits I hear about never, ever refer to these topics. The most frequent email Olive Tree Ministries receives has to do with, I can paraphrase here, where can I find a prophecy preaching, relevant issues focused church? Where can I find a church that is warning of things to come instead of emphasizing your best life now? That's why Brent Miller Jr. in Ingenuity Films made the new rapture-themed film production Before the Wrath. He too tapped into Lifeway and found that 98% of our churches will not teach on anything end-time related. Both eschatology and Israel are marginalized. That's right, 98%. Want to play another real short clip? This is an online prophecy update by Pastor Tom Hughes, 412 Church. That's Calvary Chapel in San Jacinto, California. I was privileged to minister at his church in January.
Hey, everybody. Hey, check this out. I'm looking at what in the world is going on. This appears to me, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but it seems to me like we're in some kind of an experiment. There's like a delusion that has been cast upon the world. But I look at all of the things that are going on right now, on the right and the left, both sides of the aisle, President Trump to various governors in the country. They're saying, hey, we got to get back to work. Everybody's got their own plan. Listen, this is what's going to happen because the numbers are not adding up to all of the projections that we had with the number of people dying from the coronavirus and the number of people that are catching it. Listen, people have died from it, no doubt about that, but the numbers aren't jiving. And this is what's going to happen. There's going to be a whole lot of finger pointing and blaming each other for everything. Different plans are going to come out, and the governors are going to want to beat Trump, and Trump's going to want to beat the governors. And then we're going to go through this. We're going to hear all this different narrative that's going to come out of this. And because everybody sheltered at home, that's why the numbers weren't as bad as they're going to be. But I'll tell you something. We hear a lot of the talk about the global ID and the global vaccinations that are going to come. All of our data has been collected, things we've watched on Netflix, things we've searched, pockets of resistance, all the stuff has been collected. And it certainly seems to me like it's been some kind of an experiment to see how the world will behave if they're told that everybody has to just chill out and go home and not go to work. And now they know. It's amazing how it happened. But I'll tell you what else has happened. In this, I'm going to call it an experiment because I'm not sure exactly how to define it. We've been exposed. Our sins have been exposed. Listen, we need to repent. Let's look at this. Where are we going to be when we get through this to the other side? Where is God going to be in our lives? A lot of people have been going online and watching the gospel on TV and so forth. Where are we going to be as a church? Where are we going to be as a people? Is there going to be an awakening? Is there going to be a revival? Listen, we have been exposed for where we really are. Consider this. This came out of the stream. And in it, this writer talks about those businesses that were considered essential and non-essential. It turns out that abortion is really essential while church is not. Church leaders can't meet, but the abortion industry is moving along unhindered. Only 5 states took this opportunity during the COVID-19 lockdown to save innocent lives by declaring that abortion is a non-essential industry. Ohio, Texas, Oklahoma, Alabama, and Iowa. That brought me another really unwanted thought. In 45 states, the only religious rites permitted by the government is child sacrifice. I look at this and I think, pretty unbelievable when you put it into that perspective. In 90% of our nation, the government's mandating that child sacrifice continue in time of pandemic, but preventing churches from offering bread and wine in memory of me? Wow, this shows where we are. Listen, I'm very concerned. When I look at history and I look at the Bible and I look why God judged ancient Israel and ancient Judah, and it was essentially for the sins that we are committing here in America. Child sacrifice, greed, and then just immorality. And in ancient Israel and ancient Judah, they were worshiping gods in those images. The god of Mammon, god of Moloch for child sacrifice and immorality, Ishtar. And you look at this, listen, we might not make the little images and the little statues. The problem is God has been replaced in our hearts. Listen, I don't know where we're gonna be when we get to the other side of this mess. I can look into the future, I can look at the Bible and know that we are going into globalism. I believe we're watching the birth of the New World Order. I believe all of the data has been collected to observe all of humanity, how we've acted and how we've reacted. But the biggest problem that we have is the problem of the heart, and it's the heart of mankind. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him will perish but have everlasting life. Listen, folks, we need to repent. We need to repent as a church. Man, I wish there'd be a big awakening. I wish there'd be a giant revival worldwide. But unfortunately, I don't see that happening. When we live in a country, we live in a world that says abortion is essential. Child sacrifice is essential, and Jesus is not. We've got trouble. Listen, I'm going to ask you to do something. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, ask him to forgive you of your sins, because there's a real judgment that really is coming. I don't believe what we're experiencing right now is that great judgment that's coming during the tribulation period. I don't believe we're there yet, but that judgment is coming. I believe this is a warning shot. Jesus himself said, when you see all these things begin to take place, look up for your redemption draws near. Listen, Jesus is coming. Ask Christ to forgive you of your sins and repent of your sins. God bless.
So I've spent 2 weeks talking about the fact that the New World Order requires a crisis, a global crisis, not a local crisis. We have the global crisis. It's a global pandemic. Pastors, I hope you're taking advantage of this because the world is in a meltdown mode right now and people are asking a lot of questions. We don't even know if life as we once knew it will ever happen again. Yes, the church is removed before the revealing of the lawless one, the Antichrist. I maintain he's just over the horizon, raring to go. And the four horsemen of the apocalypse may be training on some racetrack somewhere. You can almost hear their hoofbeats. The good news is more people are open to the gospel now than ever before. I have an email from a pastor here saying that their viewership online of their church services has skyrocketed, gone from thousands to tens of thousands to, yes, hundreds of thousands watching as the gospel is covering the entire earth as we speak. Even that is predicted as an end-time phenomenon. He is coming. He's coming any moment. By the way, again, spent 2 weeks on this topic. If you'd like to look more deeply into it, check out my video in my store, Hidden in Plain View, The New World Order in Bible Prophecy. It's a quick overview going back almost 5,000 years of the players and organizations that have tried to form a one-world government, actually since Babylon. I haven't used this little saying in quite a while here, and I'd like to as I go out of the program, because we've looked at some very serious issues here in the last 2 weeks, this forming of global government, which is on the horizon. And yet I'm comforted and calmed every time I read this little saying. When the time was right, the sea parted, the walls fell down, the lions went hungry, the sun stood still. The waves were calm, the stone was rolled away, the clouds were parted, the Lord ascended. And when the time is right, the King of Kings will return. God is never early, and he's never late. He's always right on time, and his plan for you is good. I want to thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Mighty to say, you are the love song we'll sing.
If we have made a difference in your life, let us hear from you. Write to us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. All gifts are tax deductible. Our times are perilous, yet the Bible says repeatedly to fear not. And when you get discouraged, always remember, everything is falling into place.